You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Broadcasting live statewide from the Civic Media studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. Now, a guy who gives edible undies as gifts just because they taste good, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome back, folks. Hope you had a great intermission. It is time for Act Two here on a Thursday night edition of Nightlight. If you missed the first hour, you can always catch it on the podcast at civicmedia.us. We catalog all our shows there. Just go to civicmedia.us, Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, and you can catch up because we had a great time in the first hour. Conrad made things very awkward when he said he had a sandwich. Tell us what the guy said to you.
Well, you know, he said, I made it with extra love.
Here's your sandwich. I made it with extra love.
And an extra ham, you know?
Both inappropriate things to say. That's terrible.
I didn't ask him to do it.
No, and that's what makes it... You could say that's what made it a beautiful gesture, or you could also say... What are his motives? Well, here,
what is the extra love in the sandwich? Yeah. If I didn't know, you know,
the roofie between the cold cuts.
I think he would have voted you the sexiest man of the year, Connor.
He probably would have.
Conrad, sorry.
Our question of the night, folks, is who is the sexiest man alive? People recently named their sexiest man alive, as they do every year. And this year's winner was Jonathan Bailey, an actor from the show Bridgerton and many other. He's got many other credits, too. The first gay guy to be the sexiest man alive. I find that strange in 40
off.
Years. Yeah. There's a lot of handsome gay guys.
Yeah, for sure.
But pick whoever you want. Share with us who you think the sexiest man alive should be. I said Bruce Springsteen. Conrad, sometimes you make things just to be funny, and I have to ask you constantly who the person's name was again.
Now I forgot.
Malort.
Jonathan Luran. That's it. The guy in every Adam Sandler movie you've seen.
Yeah, which is one. No, I've seen more than that.
Again, yeah, there he is. Guy, yeah.
There he is. Are you an Adam Sandler fan?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm just asking his name again. It's not that important. Okay. And Trevor Klumper is here. He made the popcorn pick of the week, which was The Lost Boys, an excellent pick, a vampire film from 1987-ish. Starring Jason Patrick and Kiefer Sutherland. A great pick. Check it out if you haven't seen it. Matt Miller will be here at 7:20 tonight. We'll be talking movies. And as usual, it's always more fun when you guys participate. So keep those texts coming. We will get caught up on texts in just a moment. But for right now, Jim from Appleton says, it's a Sacsamahorn. Sexiest man alive is without a doubt Mark Ruffalo.
Mark Ruffalo is a good-looking guy. I got to give it to him.
But part of it is like he's just a talented guy.
Very charming. Like, very charming.
I'm not like the fact that we're all guys saying we think this guy is the sexiest guy alive doesn't mean necessarily we think they're like, you know, we want to make out with him. It just means, you know, and maybe you want to. I don't know. But I'm just saying like there's all kinds of components that go into sexy. Would you agree with that?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And Mark Ruffalo, awesome actor. Love him. I just watched Task and he is outstanding.
Oh, I love that.
Did you watch the show?
The accents made it hard for me to take him seriously.
See, that I thought they were pretty
accurate.
Oh,
the accents
though.
Were very good, yeah. But I just think that accent is ridiculous.
It's
in
kind
general.
Of a weird accent. Yeah. And it's hard to sound tough with that accent. Yeah, I agree with you there. Brett from Brown Deer in the 920 says, Kimmy, the Thai lady boy in Hangover 2. That's as close as I get to a sexy dude. Okay, Brett, that's good.
Oh, I don't
remember that character.
I just know of, I know him as Chang from Community. I can't think it's Ken something.
Oh, yeah. He's a judge on one of the shows,
yeah,
too.
Yeah. He's a doctor. I can't remember his last name. Ken Jeong?
Something. Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know who you're talking about, though. And very funny in The Hangover. Monica from Mount Horeb says Sung Kang from Fast and the Furious. Am I saying that right? You guys know that guy?
No.
Thank you, Monica. Anna from Madison in the 608 says, I think Ryan Gosling is the sexiest man alive. Classic. Not really going out on a limb there, Anna. No. Very handsome guy, very talented guy. She says, I first saw him in The Notebook and have liked him ever since. Great text. As always, Anna, thank you. And we'll do one more here. Tyler from Wisconsin Rapids. Vladimir the
Is it Vlad the Impaler?
Yes.
Yeah.
Putin in drag on horseback, bare-breasted. See, Tyler, he just likes breasts. It doesn't even matter if they're women or men. He always has to. I got to read these over before I read them on the air. Okay, back to our guest, Mr. Trevor Klumper. It's great to have you here, buddy. And we got a phone call. Can we?
Yeah.
We can squeeze in a phone call. Yeah. Then we've got big news from Trevor. So who's on the line?
Cindy from Appleton.
Oh, fantastic, Cindy. Long time. How are you?
I know, Pete. I've kind of fallen off. I lost one of your stations. I don't know what happened to your 97.9. But anyway, I'm back, and I just wanted to say the sexiest man alive for me was Viggo Mortensen. Is like she's still alive, but Viggo Mortensen. I used to watch Lord of the Rings just so I could see Viggo Mortensen, and even his name, Viggo Mortensen, sounds sexy to me.
He's got that helps. See, I knew. When I was 21, I was never going to win this award, not just because I'm not good looking enough, but Pete Schwabe, that's not going to work for the sexiest man. I'm done. Forget it. Have you seen The History of Violence, Cindy?
No.
Or I think it's called A History of Violence. Viggo Mortensen, that's my favorite role of his. You think you love him now. Where do you see him in that movie? Check it out.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
I'll do that. Thank you.
Great to have you back. Thanks, Cindy.
You too. Bye.
All right. Bye. All right, so Trevor Klumper is here. Very funny, Appleton-based stand-up comedian. You're part of these don't tell comedy shows that are kind of a huge hit right now.
Yeah,
and you've got news, so lay it on us.
Yeah, so we're doing one. I think it's the 21st and the 22nd. The 21st in Appleton and the 22nd in Green Bay. Usually, we're not allowed to say who the headliners are, but me and the other producers said, well, we're just going to let people know. It's Kristen Toomey out of Chicago, literally considered the queen of comedy in Chicago.
Really?
One of the funniest comedians. We're very excited to have her. But you can get those tickets at don'ttellcomedy.com and look up Green Bay.
When is that? November 21st?
21st and the 22nd, I believe.
So do you have to go to the website to find out where it will be?
Yeah. So how it works, it's perfect for date nights because you know the general area.
Yeah.
So you'll know. If it's in Green Bay, it'll say like Green Bay downtown, you know, or Green Bay De Pere, you know, or whatever. And so then you know that you're not driving too far away, obviously. And then the day of the show, you get the location is then revealed. They're typically like BYOB style. So you bring your own drinks. But I know the one in Appleton isn't going to be BYOB. The Green Bay one probably will be. But it's, so then you show up and you usually don't know who the comics are till they hit the stage. Except for this time, we're letting people know it's going to be Kristen Toomey. And if you don't know who she is, check her out because you will buy tickets if you see her. That's how funny she is.
Look her up on YouTube and check out some of her clips.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, one of the best.
That's outstanding. And I love that you gave us a little spoiler there. That's
fantastic. It's the first place I broke it. I'm going on some other programs to break it, but this is the first.
Oh, thank you very much. Appreciate that, sir. What can you get in trouble for that? I know it's a national. You told me it's a national organization.
I don't think so. I think all they care about is that we sell tickets at the end of the day.
Yeah.
You know? And you don't know who the other comics are. And we have some big, big names coming through to open up the show even.
So how did that start? And whose idea was it to say we should have a comedy show? Don't tell anybody where it is. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a great gimmick, but it could be risky, but it's working.
Yeah.
So it is a great gimmick.
Well, I think it's because they make sure to put some emphasis on, I hate to use this word, but gatekeeping in a way, I guess, because, you know, the producers have to make sure that the show is worth the ticket price, obviously.
Sure.
Like if I'm charging you $25 for a ticket and I deliver you know, five open micers, you're not going to come back. We have a lot of
please don't tell comedy.
Yeah. Don't tell anyone this happened tonight.
Right.
We have a lot of repeats, people coming back. They love it. It's myself, Kristen Lighty, and John Egan put these on. We've
all
been having a blast doing
great.
It. And like, I don't know how they got started. I have a feeling, I think I remember them talking about something with COVID. And like when everything was getting shut down, I think this is their kind of backdoor way of doing things.
Avoid the law.
And they just took off. Like, I'm sure they're making hand over fist at this point.
And it's in every city now.
I wouldn't say every city, but it's definitely in every state for sure.
Okay.
You know, there's a Madison, Milwaukee, and Appleton, Green Bay. So yeah, that's Appleton, Green Bay is considered one. So
what's the weirdest, venue you've been in for?
Oh man,
shows?
I don't know. We did a laundromat. That was fun.
How do you pack people? How do you?
I see a place that looks interesting, and I'll talk to them. Before I came on board with Kristen and John, I think they did one at a pet sanctuary.
Wow.
I have no idea what that was like because I wasn't a part of the program yet, but that had to have been wild.
That is crazy. Yeah. So you guys have to find the locations.
Yeah, we find the venues. Mm-hmm.
Do you ever have people that say, no thanks, we don't want laughter within our walls?
Oh, yeah. Some people, they get scared, which I can, it's understandable with, you don't know how things are always going to turn out. But we have a great track record, and, we provide, liability stuff. We have, you can go and look at the website. There's all kinds of stuff that show, hey, we are a legit organization.
Yeah.
And anyone who's listening and you want your business to be featured, please reach out to me at Trevor Klempner Comedy on all socials. We're always looking for new venues. We repeat some of them, but we try not to.
Trevor Klempner is my guest here in studio. He is a Appleton-based comedian and part of the Don't Tell Comedy production team and one of the comics. So that's cool. So Kristen Toomey will be performing November 21st. Mm-hmm, very funny, Chicago-based comedian. Who are some of your other favorites around here? You mentioned John Egan, very funny guy.
Yeah, John
Kristen
Egan.
Lighty.
Kate Hermsen, she's very funny. Probably one of the best working in the area right now. I just ran into my buddy, Abe Bauer, real funny guy, real clean guy, clean.
His act or his hygiene?
Both. He's okay. Very clean. I could see him shining on the way up to talk to him. There's Grizzly I was talking to you about earlier. Funny guy. He works at the Skyline. Those are the people that I tend to associate with a lot.
That's cool. Do you have? You said some other dates you have coming up. This is kind of cool. You're working theater.
Yeah. I'm doing Turner Hall tomorrow with Trey Crowder. That's going to be a blast. It's my first time performing in a theater,
nice,
that should be interesting. And then I'm at the Barrymore on Saturday, still with Trey, it should be a good time. Really excited for him.
Another two great venues too.
Oh yeah, I went to Turner Hall to see Dan Soder. Who's probably my favorite working comedian right now. And just seeing what that looked like for him, I was like, man, if it looks half like this, this is going to be amazing.
What's the capacity at Turner Hall, would you say?
I think I looked it up. It was like seated like 500, okay. Somewhere around there.
Nice.
Yeah.
And that's Saturday is the Barrymore.
Yeah, and the Barrymore is like 900, I think, when I looked it up.
Barrymore is so great. I've been in the Barrymore quite a bit. That's one of my favorite venues.
I've never
movies,
been there.
Concert. Oh, it's one of those old theaters that still has the stars on the sky.
Oh, nice.
And it's got a balcony, this great lobby where the carpet is like kind of, it's like the carpet looks like it's 50 years old, but it smells like a movie theater.
Okay.
If that makes sense.
Yeah,
it's really cool. Do you have a favorite city to work outside of Wisconsin or in Wisconsin for that matter?
That's a good question. I like Minneapolis a lot.
That's a good comedy town.
That's a good town for comedy. I don't know what it is, but I crush every time I'm there. It's so good for the ego,
That's fantastic. All right. We have about 30 seconds left.
Okay.
What are you binge watching? What can you share with us?
I just finished the new season of The Witcher.
Oh, I have not seen that.
I'm a big medieval, history type. It's not history. It's fantasy, but I love fantasy stuff.
I love historical fantasy.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. Trevor, thank you. This is always fun, buddy.
Yeah, absolutely.
Don't be a stranger. And you can't be a stranger because you have a comedy show to do. Don't ask.
It's not the military.
Don't tell comedy.
Don't tell comedy.
Check it out. The website one more time, please.
Don'tTellComedy.com.
Check it out and check out Trevor's work. We are coming right back with our pal, Milwaukee-based film critic, Matt Miller. This is Nightlight with Peach Wabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Get up, Paul. I want to drive them home. When you're feeling blue,
welcome back. This is Nightlight. I am Pete Schwabe. Great to have you with me on this Thursday night. Just a reminder, folks, the Popcorn Pick was brought to you by Chicken or the Egg Photography. Chris specializes in food, event, music, and product photography for businesses across Wisconsin and the Midwest. See what he can do for you at chickenortheeggphotography.com. Chris does great work. He's been on the show a few times and sponsors our Popcorn Pick of the Week. So there you go. It's always fun to talk to Trevor Klumpner. On social media, we've got some more Sexiest Man Alive texts. Lisa Hale says, okay, hear me out. Jack Black and Kevin Smith. Laughter is the best aphrodisiac. And Chad Frank commented on that and said, well, Lisa, I am hilarious, clever, and a genuine person. Chad's cruising for chicks on our Facebook page. What the hell, man? Thank you, Chad, for being a part of that. I think Lisa is someone made an honest woman of her, but she's wonderful. And so are you, Chad. Daniel Wheeler, Danny Wheels says, Steve Zahn, his humor amplifies his handsome. Sarah Jean says, Ryan Gosling, he makes me laugh and sometimes cry, depending on the movie. Dan Davey says, Carla's Butcher from Cheers. Boy, I got that's digging deep. Thank you, Dan. I say Springsteen. Bill Mode says me and put a picture of himself on social media. This is like a dating site all of a sudden. Stacy Sue says, if he was alive, it would be Freddie Mercury. Mike Desitel, Steve Buscemi's smile gets me every time. Of course it does, Mike. And Ezekiel Drew says, according to my wife, it goes me, then Tom Hiddleston. I looked in the mirror and said Tom Hiddleston, and then me. You're both sexy guys, Ezekiel. Keep those texts coming. Right now, I'm excited to welcome our next guest. He is a Milwaukee film critic and one of our Nightlight besties. Mr. Matt Miller joins us over the stream. Hey, buddy.
Hey, howdy.
Do you have a Sexiest Man Alive vote?
I mean, I always vote Ryan Gosling. I just think the sense of humor, he seems like a good dude.
Yeah, agreed.
He seems like a decent human. He's Canadian, so he knows about poutine and all dressed potato chips. So he just seems like a good chap. If we're talking more kind of guys of the moment, I do think Glenn Powell is a very handsome man as well. So, yeah, there's a lot of handsome dudes making me feel inadequate out there.
Hell, there's plenty to go around, buddy. I love Ryan Gosling for the Beavis and Butthead sketch alone on Saturday Night Live and his reaction throughout that. He was so good and so funny. So that's a great pick.
I mean, and he's underrated, arguably, in Barbie. Like, enough as, like, in society and especially in the movies and arts, and like he's genuinely hilarious and perfect in Barbie. He plays it so much like he's so invested in being Ken. It's great.
He's the perfect cast for sure. Well, Matt, let's jump in. I almost don't know where to start. You've seen more than I have as usual. What did you think of Roof Man?
I liked Roof Man. It is the kind of movie that people don't see anymore in movie theaters, which is it's just a really good movie, well told. This is the new Channing Tatum movie about true story, but a guy in the kind of late 90s, early 2000s who robbed a bunch of McDonald's. He would break through their ceilings, robbed a McDonald's. Then he goes to prison, breaks out of prison, and hides in a Toys R Us where he like and then while he's in hiding from the police
for months. Yeah.
For months, he like befriends a bunch of locals and becomes a part of the community, all while living this secret life as, you know, this ceiling hammering bank thief. It's directed by Derek Cianfrance, who's all of his previous movies are extremely serious. Mm. He did The Place Beyond the Pines. He did Blue Valentine. Not a laugh to be found in either of those movies whatsoever. So it's kind of interesting to see him doing something like Roof Man that has this kind of, you know, sense of humor, this kind of funny story to it about a guy hiding out in Toys R Us. But it has this real melancholy vibe. I saw someone else refer to it as kind of like a Catch Me If You Can vibe. And it kind of that is exactly the vibe of the movie. It is very much a kind of melancholy movie about a dad who like is bad at being a dad and is lost in the world. And I think it's a bummer this time of year because it's a really good movie. But since it's not a big Oscar player, audiences kind of just abandoned it immediately. Mm. And critics kind of abandoned him. It's the kind of movie where it's like, oh, it's good, it's fine. but it's not the kind of movie that people are like, oh my gosh, you got to see Roof Man.
Yeah.
And it's a shame because it died at the box office, but it is a good movie that's worth your while. It's a well-told story. It's nice seeing Kirsten Dunst do a role that isn't like deathly serious, that has this really, really kind of bubbly charm to it. It's a really well-done movie.
That's very well said. And it's got kind of this nice message too. Like you mentioned, he was bad at being a dad, and he was, but part of what propelled him or motivated him to do these things was because he thought that's what he had to do to be a good dad. He wanted his kids to have stuff. So he would rob. And then at the end of the movie, this isn't really a spoiler alert, he was just saying, they just needed my time. And he didn't know that, but it was, you're right. It's just a great story. We've got about a minute before the news, Matt. Let's try to sneak one. What did you think of Highest to Lowest?
I wanted to love this movie. It's Denzel, it's Spike Lee back together. They're adapting an incredible Kurosawa movie that's like maybe a perfectly directed film. And I just think it totally slogs in some parts. I think it really just doesn't have a ton of momentum. And then there's some scenes that are really great. There's some scenes near the end that are just like lightning, just like Spike Lee doing great, Denzel really acting. But then there's a lot of stuff that just feels clunky and, and awkward and like uncinematically staged. And I was kind of surprised by how much it just feels like such a shadow of a much better movie.
Clunky is a great word. I know Spike Lee in this film does some things that just kind of takes you out of it. It's very hard to
The score. The score for the entire movie is wretched. And Spike Lee, you know, he knows music. He normally works with Terrence Blanchard. I believe he's worked with this composer before. But there's just stuff that sounds like it should be in like Gangs of New York or something. Like it should be in like a period piece. And instead, it's in this modern kind of crime epic. See the original. Spike Lee's done better.
We are going to come back after the news and talk to Matt about Frankenstein. Christopher Elvers from the 608 says, always love Sam Elliott. Oh, that's a good one. He seems to get sexier the older he gets. Well done, Christopher.
It's the mustache.
We're coming back with more Nightlight with Pete Schwabba and Matt Miller coming up next on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back. John from the 608 says, sexiest man alive, any confident man secure with his sexuality with a passion for life and oozing fun. Peter, it's certainly not a 5'3" actor that covers 90% of actors. Armie Hammer is handsome, but my God, what a POS for the worst reasons. So I'm going to have to disagree with Melissa, play it safe and go with myself. Melissa is John's wife. Do we miss a text from Melissa?
I don't think so.
Okay. So until she says John is the sexiest, I'm not going to believe John. Conrad's mom says, I've been watching Dancing with the Stars, and one of the competitors, Dylan Efron, looks great dancing and has a great smile. But your mom stopped short of saying he's the sexiest man alive, probably because she's sitting across from your father. John from the 608 also says, my Melissa, she is brilliant, a brilliant, successful mother, a woman who makes no mistakes and has only warmth and caring and love in her heart, proving my claim. John also says, okay, I'm willing to take a number two slot behind Jack Black. The lady caller, that's Cindy, was correct. He's awesome. Wow, great answers tonight. All running the gamut. Matt Miller is here, folks. He's a Milwaukee-based film critic who joins us from time to time to talk movies. And Matt, what did you think of Frankenstein? I have not seen this yet. It's only in theaters for like a week, and I don't think it's a wide release, is it?
No, it is a Netflix one, and we were very lucky in Milwaukee that a few theaters, the Times, the Oriental Theater, and the Avalon still is going to have it this weekend. Netflix barely ever puts their movies in theaters, and when they do, it's almost exclusively out on the coasts and the big cities. They seem to be loosening up a little bit, but only in the name of like prestige projects like a Guillermo del Toro, like a Greta Gerwig, her Narnia movie, hopefully the new Knives Out movie coming out this month, Wake Up Dead Man. We'll see if that one makes it to screens by us. But luckily got a chance to see it on the big screen, Frankenstein. I liked it. It's like a lot of Guillermo del Toro movies for me where I wanted to love it. I wanted to walk out and be like, my God, It's incredible. I love how much passion he has for monsters, for these very cinematic creations, for production design. I love that kind of stuff. I love his approach to Frankenstein, which is in theme with Roofman, which is a movie. It is a movie about bad dads. It's a movie about generational, you know, drama and, you know, dads passing on their flaws and anxieties down to their kids. And I really like that kind of approach to the story. But it just kind of ends up becoming a little bit of a story grab bag. And I like the movie a lot, but like, it kind of gets lost in some cul-de-sacs in terms of like what it's about, and it kind of gets a little bloated. And the structure is interesting, but it also results in some like odd kind of like it just doesn't pace great in some cases. And there's also some stuff. I love Guillermo del Toro, great visual director, but there's some stuff that kind of looks crummy in the movie.
Really?
And I don't know if it's a Netflix thing where Netflix has certain demands for what types of cameras that you generally have to use with them. That, you know, I'm not sure if maybe there was some of that. I don't know if, you know, he was working with CGI in a few shots, but there's just some of the stuff that doesn't look as good as kind of Guillermo del Toro's best stuff can be, is Pan's Labyrinth, is Shape of Waters. But it's very much worth your while. It's nice seeing Oscar Isaac out of Star Wars jail.
Yeah.
Jacob Elordi is a genuine. It's weird to think that Oscar Isaac has been stuck in franchise mode for so many years, and now, like, it's so nice to see him get to be interesting in a movie again.
Really good actor, yeah.
Jacob Elordi is a really good young actor. A lot of people, he got to start kind of on the HBO show, the one with Zendaya and Sydney Sweeney, Euphoria.
Euphoria, yeah.
And I think I was kind of like, okay, who's this 27-year-old playing a high schooler on the HBO show? but he's genuinely a really good actor. Between Priscilla, Saltburn, and now Frankenstein, he's got the goods. I'm excited to see what he does next.
Nice. You seem to really like this movie. It was just an accident. I'm not familiar with it. Can you tell us about that one?
Yeah, this is the new Jafar Panahi movie. He is an Iranian director. He's made some really tremendous films. He made This Is Not a Film when the Iranian government banned him from making movies. Their government wouldn't let him make movies that were critical of the government, of society. And he kept making movies in secret in Iran. And now this is his latest. It's called It Was Just an Accident. Maybe his most approachable movie, which is going to sound funny when I say the plot of it. It's about a guy who comes upon a guy who tortured him during some of the regime's eras, and he decides he's going to get revenge on him, but he's not sure if he's the guy officially. So he goes around traveling around the city, finding other people who were in prison with him, who were imprisoned by the regime, and is like, can you confirm that this is the guy who was torturing us in prison?
Wow.
And I know that sounds super lighthearted, fun. It's a musical. It has kind of like a Coen Brothers dark comedy kind of energy to it in some places. It's still an Iranian movie. It's very kind of slower paced. It is about, you know, existential and philosophical debates. But I really liked that. That's a really great movie worth checking out. That's at the Oriental Theater right now. Hopefully it gets some Oscar buzz, but I will say it is currently being released by Neon, and Neon has like 70 movies. It's trying to get Oscars this year. And when that happens, certain movies tend to fall by the wayside, and I'm nervous this one might be. But it's a really great movie, and it's the best ending of a movie you will see this year without spoiling anything.
Just nice.
The kind of ending that you just like go out of the theater and you're like, that's cinema, baby.
Nice. Matt Miller is my guest. He is a Milwaukee-based film critic. And we are talking movies like we love to do with Matt. Where do we go here, Matt? I want to ask you, here's what I'm excited to see. And I mean, not typically, these kind of movies don't get me really charged typically, but Predator Badlands.
Yeah.
This franchise, because of this director, Noah Trachtenberg?
Dan Trachtenberg.
Dan Trachtenberg. The last three movies, Prey. It was an animated Predator that came out earlier this year, and this have all reviewed. This is getting a 95% critics on Rotten Tomatoes. The trailer looks amazing. I'm actually excited to see this movie, and I cannot believe this is like the ninth movie. And usually when a franchise makes a ninth movie, there's some dogs in there, and maybe there are in this franchise, but I'm excited to see that. Have you heard anything good about it?
I've heard really good things. I do really like Dan Trachtenberg as a director. As you said, he came to the franchise with Prey,
yeah,
which was released on Hulu and a Hulu exclusive. It's great.
It's great.
If you haven't seen Prey, it's basically what if Native Americans came across a predator.
Yeah.
It's a great premise for a movie. And then if you like that, you'll love the animated one you were talking about as well, Predator Killer of Killers. Even if you're like not an animation person, It's such a great premise because it is three short stories of like just a predator showing up in different periods of time. So one is like Vikings, one is World War II. I think the third one might be the samurai era in Japan. And it's just, they're great and they're really fun, really thrilling, gory, bloody action. And nice. I'm really excited to see what he does with Predator Badlands. I think it's a really fun premise to kind of, you know, be with this like rookie predator on like this like prove it mission,
right?
And you've got a, you know, robot L Fanning along with him. It looks really fun. I know some people are a little scared off by the fact that it's PG-13 Predator, generally an R-rated franchise, but I think mainly it's going to be PG-13 because it is a movie about there's not a lot of people in it. It's monsters. It's him fighting monsters. And the MPAA will let you do whatever you want to monsters. If they bleed purple or green or anything other than red, the MPAA will just let you go hog wild on murdering monsters. So I think it's still going to give people, you know, the kind of the bloodlust thrills that the Predator franchise offers. But he's also a really smart director who's taking this franchise and really interesting directions. He's not doing the Alien Romulus route of playing the best hits, you know, playing stuff you've seen before. It seems like he really wants to try some different things with this franchise.
I'm glad I know that because the PG-13, it wouldn't have scared me off. I still would have seen it based on the reviews, but that's just kind of like I didn't like that the first Jurassic Park was PG-13. I'm like, come on, I want to be scared. You have dinosaurs. Let's do this. But that's interesting what you say, that there's no real – I don't know. That I'm very intrigued by this film.
Yeah, I'm really excited. We're in a real cool dad mode of the Hollywood schedule right now where you've got Predator Badlands coming out this weekend. Next weekend is the Running Man remake, which looks really good. You've got Nuremberg out this weekend, which is like a classic like dad's history movie. Like Hollywood is desperately trying to get audiences 45 and older back into theaters because that is the audience that has stopped going. And hopefully stuff like Predator, stuff like The Running Man, stuff like Regretting You, the Colleen Hoover movie, the romance movie that came out last month. Hopefully stuff like that can remind older audiences that, A, there is stuff in theaters for them, and a lot of it's really good and fun to see in a theater.
I agree, and it's interesting you say that because this month alone, or this weekend, there's like four films opening. They're all reviewing well and all kind of different genres. And it's like, oh my God, there's no, well, I guess Predator is a franchise film, but there's this movie with Martin Sheen called Lost and Found in Cleveland. And like you just said, Nuremberg, Russell Crowe, Michael Shannon, love it. And Christie, I don't know how that film is with Sydney Sweeney as a boxer. You know, it's reviewing fairly well. It's a true story.
I've heard it's a people pleaser. For those who don't know, it's about a female boxer in the 90s, I believe, kind of groundbreaking great female boxer. Like you said, Sydney Sweeney getting a little bit of awards buzz. It's directed by David Michaud, who directed the Australian Animal Kingdom crime movie, which is a great movie. If you haven't seen Animal Kingdom, not the TNT TV show, but the original one that like brought Ben Mendelsohn and Joel Edgerton to the mainstream.
Oh, yeah.
Really great movie. He's kind of fallen off a little bit since then, but I'm interested to see what he does with a boxing movie, which honestly, boxing is just a great cinematic genre. So hopefully you got to really screw it up to botch it.
But interesting what you say about the dads, like all these movies are appealing to the demographic you just mentioned, which, and I love this. I don't want to go, you know, I live in a small town and we are just peppered with the franchises and superheroes. And it's like, I got to drive 60 miles to see a decent movie sometimes.
Well, they just don't market a lot of these movies that much. I mean, do people know Nuremberg is coming out this week? And did people know Springsteen was coming out 2 weeks ago?
Right.
Judging by the box office numbers, doesn't look like it.
No.
You know, I think Hollywood's forgotten how to sell these movies to their audiences. It's a little frustrating.
It's interesting. I saw the Springsteen movie today. It's kind of a conundrum a little bit because you have this one of the most charismatic performers ever, one of the biggest stars in the world, but the movie does not match that charisma. It's about a dark time in his life, and it's good. I liked it, but I've got some issues with it, but I overall really like it.
Are you telling me Scott Cooper made an overly serious one note drama? I can't believe that writer director would do that. That doesn't sound like him at all.
Well, what I wanted to ask you, we've got about a minute before we do a very short break, but Jeremy Strong is excellent as his manager, John Landau. Have you heard any Oscar buzz around him?
I haven't heard much Oscar buzz around him, and the fact that the movie has done pretty poorly at the box office, not that box office means everything,
right,
but when there's not a lot of buzz around your movie and when the buzz around it is kind of negative, it makes it really hard to get people excited to vote for your movie come awards season. And the actor categories, I think it is kind of a weird year when it comes to awards season right now, where there's no... There hasn't been the big Anora this season. There hasn't been the big Oppenheimer. There hasn't been the big Everything Everywhere All at Once. There's no movie that people are pointing to and being like, that's it. That's the festival season movie that's going to be the Oscar contender. Yeah. So it's kind of all up in the air right now, which is really exciting. It means a lot of stuff in the conversation.
Well said. All right, we're coming back. We'll have a couple more minutes with Matt after a very short break. This is Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back. Thursday night edition of Nightlight. I am Pete Schwabba. Great to have you with me. This is the subject of Malort. I don't even know if I'm saying that right. The booze from Chicago, Malort, that is supposed to be. You know it, Matt? Have you tasted it?
Oh, I have drank a Malort. You don't forget it.
Yes.
When you Google it, a lot of fun stuff comes up. Like, is Malort a hallucinogenic? Why would anyone drink Malort? Who actually drinks Malort? But Dave on the stream says, my daughter lived in Bolingbrook. I asked her to get a bottle of Malort. The dude in the liquor store asked, who pissed you off? And then he says, Malort, when your mouth gets kicked in the balls. Okay. Joe on the stream says, Jason Sudeikis with the Ted Lasso colossal stash is his vote for sexiest man alive. And then we've got one more here on the stream or on the text line. Anna from Madison says, Pete, please ask Matt if he saw Song Sung Blue with Hugh Jackman and Kate Hudson. I don't think that's out. Has it been made available to critics yet?
Not yet. That'll be Christmas. I think it had some festival screenings out in New York. I want to say it was maybe like a Tribeca or a New York Film Festival debut. But I believe that comes out wide this Christmas. Obviously, Wisconsin's very excited about it. The local ties to the subject. But I know there's a little bit of buzz around it, too, because it is two kind of overdue actors. You have Hugh Jackman, who hasn't really been in the Oscar conversation for a while. And obviously Kate Hudson fell off the map. She was, you know, a Hollywood darling, and then she made a bunch of bad movies, and then Hollywood stopped making romantic comedies. So I think there's some good narratives there if that movie is good, if it gets the reviews, if it has the box office that people get excited about. It could be kind of the greatest showman of this year, where it's the surprise kind of hit of the holiday season.
I am way more excited about that movie than I should be, just because of the Wisconsin ties, yes, but also
Neil Diamond.
Absolutely, I love Neil Diamond. And now I'm in this weird thing where I'm at the gym and I look for Neil Diamond covers by other famous, like Solitary Man by Chris Isaac or Johnny Cash. Just the guy. I love Neil Diamond. We got a couple minutes left, Matt. Thank you for the text, by the way, Anna. You said you saw The Hand That Rocks the Cradle for the first time. And I remember seeing that and being really kind of weirded out, too. But what you said, it's casually bazonkers. What were you thinking about that movie?
So there's a remake on Hulu now, and I had never seen the original. So I was like, oh, I want to do my due diligence, see the original 1992 movie. And it's just funny how you'll watch a movie from the 80s or 90s, and it'll just casually be the most demented thing you'll ever see. And it's just, you watch that movie, and it's like you've got a very problematic Ernie Hudson performance. You've got... like the opening of the movie is his performance, which is not the kind of performance we do anymore. Someone getting sexually assaulted, a pregnant woman getting sexually assaulted at the doctor killing himself, his wife having a miscarriage and going crazy. That's the first 5 minutes of a hit blockbuster movie from 1992.
And it was rated PG.
No, that would have to be a little earlier. But it's just nuts that, like, this movie was a massive hit. And I'll be honest, you watch it, and it is nonsense. It is a very tasteless movie, in case all of that stuff I said. But it's directed by Curtis Hanson, who's a very good director.
Oh, yeah.
He did L.A. Confidential. He did Inner Shoes. And so there's a little bit more care to the movie than it. The material does not deserve any care whatsoever. It is bad Lifetime schlock. But it is somehow, I think he really invests just a little bit more in the characters and the performances than you would expect. And then you've got really good lead performance from Rebecca De Mornay, who plays crazy extremely well.
She does, yeah.
And then you realize that the sassy best friend in the movie is Julianne Moore. It's such a strange movie. I like went to work the next day and was like, I need to tell people about The Hand That Rocks the Cradles because it is bazonkers. It is just so crazy that they made this movie and that it was a hit, that Hollywood was like, this is great. And then 25, 30 years later, they were like, we should do it again.
Have you seen the new one? Is it just as crazy?
I haven't gotten to see the new one yet. I am interested to see it. It's got a really good cast. Micah Monroe, who people probably recognize from Long Legs. And then Mary Elizabeth Winstead, who was Ramona Flowers in Scott Pilgrim versus the World. Two really talented actresses. And the director, I don't know her name offhand, but she directed a really great Spanish language horror movie called Huesera the Bone Woman. It played at the Milwaukee Film Festival about 2-3 years ago. If you like kind of creepy ghost story, if you like stuff like The Babadook and those kind of like creepy, haunted kind of creature movies, really enjoy that movie. Very much worth a post-Halloween kind of horror movie checkout. Huesera with an H at the beginning. So this movie's got a really good pedigree. I'm kind of interested to see this remake and to see if it is any inch as bazonkers as the original Hand That Rocks the Cradle.
Love the word bazonkers. The director is Michelle Garza. I just looked it up. Michelle Garza Cervera?
Yeah.
Does that sound familiar?
Yeah. And then I'm not sure. It might be, I believe it's South American, the movie. It might be Brazilian, Spanish language. But really, really worth your while checking that out if you like that kind of A24 neon indie horror kind of vibe.
Outstanding. Great stuff, Matt, as always, pal. And I look forward to next time.
We're getting to blockbuster season. Nothing came out in October.
Yes.
And we finally have movies to see again.
We'll do a holiday preview next and some more Oscar talk too. Thanks so much, buddy. Appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me, Pete.
Always. That's Matt Miller. Check out Matt's work at his Substack, a Milwaukee-based film critic. He does great work. Tomorrow night on Nightlight, comedian Tim Walko will be here talking about a show he's going to do in Port Washington, and it is a bar band Friday night. So Terry Barr will be here. You know Terry Barr's work, right, Conrad?
I'm familiar.
Go get a sandwich and make sure they put extra love in it.
What if I say it this time?
Well, if you encourage him, you're asking for
trouble. Please put extra love with this one.
Do me a favor. I'll slip you a couple bucks. Just put some extra love in there.
Well, there's like 8 ingredients. Which ingredient do you want more of?
You don't
want
to leave that up for interpretation. Folks, thank you so much for being here. Thank you to Trevor Klumpner and Matt Miller and all your texts and calls. Always fun when you guys participate. On behalf of the lovable producer, Conrad, I'm Pete Schwab saying goodnight, Wisconsin.
Here we are, no one else. We walk to school all by ourselves. There's dirt on our uniforms from chasing all the...
The national news cycle never stops. but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.